at me. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "So what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much." Go back, please. "Must have been sold for much and given to the poor." Yes. "And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but ye have me not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman had done be told for a memorial of her." Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word this moment. I ask, O God, that you will give me the unction to function. The very reason for which you have sent this message, let it be fulfilled to your own glory. Take over the pulpit and glorify yourself right now. Let me decrease as you increase, our Father. Prepare the hearts of your children as a fertile ground to receive your word. Let, O God, the very reason for which you have sent it be accomplished. All to your own glory and praise. For Jesus' unfailing name we have prayed. Have your seat. Your generosity will speak for you. That's the topic we are looking at. Your generosity will speak for you. You will agree with me that we spend a couple of Sundays emphasizing on the importance and the imperativeness of thanksgiving. We have spent some time to look at the issue that surrounds giving as it relates to thanksgiving. Today we are rounding up that series. And I know without doubt that the Lord must have spoken to somebody in the course of all of this presentation. As we round off on this series, we want to look at that word generosity and how our generosity can speak for us. By way of introduction, let me say that in life there is nothing that is lost. The word generosity, simply put, is the virtue of being liberal in giving. That is why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, that the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And the one who sows generosity will reap generosity. What is your relationship with God when it comes to giving? What premium do you place on your giving? As we round up on this series, let me remind us that the issue of generosity is not something that is just cropping up or coming up in our time. It is Bible-based. From scriptures, we see several persons who demonstrated evidence of genuine generosity. And resulting from that, the Lord himself in their life. And as you take a decision to be generous in your giving to God, especially as it relates to our thanksgiving this year, I pray that that generosity will speak for you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe in prayer, you will say better amen when I pray for you. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, we see the story of the man who went to offer thanks to God. There were two. Cain, scripture says, went to present an offer to God. Abel also presented an offer to God. Whereas one was accepted, the other one was rejected. And in verse 4, of Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The first person that was mentioned in that story was Cain. As a senior son, he was the first that went to present his offer to God. But because God reads the mind, he knew that what Cain had come to offer to him was not a genuine thanks offer. Rather than get the blessing of God for coming to present an offer to God, Scripture says Cain and his offer was rejected. But the offer of Abel spoke for him. The Bible says, and God had respect for the offering of Cain. As you prepare for November 15, the question you should be asking yourself, I should be asking myself, will God have respect for this offer? Chaplain may clap for you. The church may say you have done well. But will heaven clap for you? Another one person in scriptures who came with offer of generosity to God was the man we shall be looking at on the day of the Thanksgiving. But let me just do a resume on it. 2 Samuel chapter 24. David. And sent to Aruna, nay, I'll surely buy it. Please give me New King James Version or any other version. I have graduated from PG. I struggle with this language. New King James Version, please. Or any other version. NIV. But the bottom, what David was saying in that passage was, he had the intention to go and present an offering to God. And as a king, the rule or the belief is that the king owns the land and everything therein, including the people. So when King David went to the threshing floor of Arunon to offer a thanks to God, he met Aruna and told him, please, I have come. I want to use your threshing floor to present an offer to God. Aruna said, with all pleasure, my Lord. You own me and everything I have. Whatever you want in this place, you are at liberty to take and offer as thanksgiving to your God. But in that passage we were looking at, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, thank you. The king said to Aruna, no, I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offering to the Lord my God, that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Add verse 25. And David built there an altar to the Lord, and burnt offering and peace offering. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Which means the Lord's response to the prayer of Israel was predicated on what? Church, on what? On the Thanksgiving. The thanks offer that David brought to God prompted God to say, no, let this plague stop. Let's look at another man, Solomon, the son of David. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offering. And did Solomon offer that all? God, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask what I will give thee. Ladies and gentlemen, it was upon the thanksgiving, the sacrifice, the genuine offer, the generous offer that Solomon presented to God that prompted God to tell Solomon, oh boy, what is it you want? Can we ask ourselves, why did God not ask Solomon this question until he came with a lavish thanksgiving to God? All to God. Let's look at yet another personality in Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. That is the story of the Zarephath woman. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which is spoken by Elijah. The Zarephath woman was the woman God positioned when there was 10th drought in the nation of Israel. At the time, God arranged a bed to feed Elijah. And when eventually the brook got dried up, the Lord told Elijah, now relocate. I have arranged a woman who will take care of you. Elijah went and met this woman and said, God asked me to beat you to take care of me. And the woman said, okay, because I get plenty, I will gladly offer. For the little I have is for me and my son to eat and wait for them. You ask for water, I will give you water, but not food. Elijah smiled and said, madam, you don't understand. You know what is at play here. You will gladly do what I'm asking you to do. Because God is about to turn your fortune around. God is about to make you a reference point. He's about to establish you to become an epitome of resources beyond measure. To cut the long story short, the woman to come did what Elijah asked for. And at the end, the Bible says, the woman's pot of flour, the resources of this woman, the sources of this woman's blessing never dried up again. While others were living lives of complaint, even at the palace, this woman was living in affluence. Generosity. Look at one more and then I'll be done with this introduction. The Shunammite woman. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 13. And he said to him, now we have Elijah. He said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all of this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. Verse 14. So she said, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, he had no son, and her husband is old. So cut the long story short. Here was a woman who saw a servant of God, and he decided to take care of God's servant. build a small room, equip the room, put whatever is needed there for the comfort of the man of God. Invariably, it was being done for God. And because the generosity of the woman speak for her at the fullness of time, Elijah came to discover that the woman had no child. Even the husband was already old. And the woman possibly must have gone beyond menopause or must have been in a menopause age. But because of a singular act of generosity, the womb became fertile. And the woman eventually had a child. And at the time, this child had to die. The devil killed the child. But because her generosity must surely speak for her, he had to call Elijah, and that child came back to life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm painting all of this picture to help us appreciate the fact that our acts of generosity can speak for us when it matters. And it's my prayer for somebody in the house this morning. And as you prepare to lavish genuine and generous thanksgiving on the Lord, it will speak for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it will speak for you in the name of Jesus Christ. There are some miracles that prayers don't bring. Giving brings it. You have seen some of the examples we have taught. Why don't you give to the extent that God will say to you like he said to Abraham? Because you have done this. Because you have done this. In blessing, I will do what? I will bless you. That was what opened the door of the blessing Israel enjoys today. Generosity. Three things I will submit and I will be done. Your generosity will speak for you. Number one, when you recognize the word of Jesus. The passage we read a while ago. Matthew chapter 26 was the story of a woman who came with an alabaster of fine ointment or expensive oil. While Jesus was in the house of leper, Simon the leper, who invited Jesus for a meal, Jesus was there and this woman came with this oil. Bible scholar says that the oil that the woman poured on Jesus, that was why the disciples were indignant. The cost of it was worth the wage of a civil servant for 1 year. Which means, if my salary is 10,000 naira every month, multiply it by 12, 120,000. No, I cannot be 120,000. 400,000 a year. Multiply 100,000 by 12 months. That would be how much, church? 1.2 million. God bless your mouth. The woman used 1.2 million naira to buy ointment, to buy perfume, to pour on Jesus. Church, how much? Oh, God. I don't have witness in the house. How much, church? $1.2 million. She said, Jesus, you deserve it. She recognized the words of Jesus. She knew the purpose for which the Messiah had come. She knew that Jesus had come to pay the price he didn't owe, because we owe a price we could not pay. She knew that without the sacrifice of Jesus, man is doomed for eternal condemnation. He came to pour the oil. What are you preparing to pour on Jesus November 15th? Have you realized or recognized the word of this master? What he has done for you? My driver was telling me yesterday, as we were traveling, in front of police station here, in Abraka here. Koro Koro afternoon, not night. Oh. Two Okada people were coming. There's one small spot in that place there that is the speed breaker has broken. So every Okada, they don't want to pass the speed breaker. Everybody wants to pass that spot. One was coming in opposite direction with the other one. Both of them, Koro Koro, somebody say Koro Koro. I didn't hear you say it again. The other one came, and the one that was coming on this side came, and both of them, they hit each other face to face. And the driver, according to my driver, he used his head to hit the head of the other one. One died on the spot. Then, the other one was rushed to the hospital. Before he got to Eku, he had died. Ije mewa pele Oge no se oru no Uyele 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 papo E oge no se oru no Uyele 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 papo E there's an axiom in Urobo. A fake bobe oya mle, amle wu bobe. That Okada man left his ass and let me hustle. Christmas is coming, let me hustle. Koro Koro afternoon, not night. He died. Some of us, we may have gone through the snares of the devil, traps that were sent by powers of darkness. And yet the Lord delivered us. Kidnappers, they're hiding in some bush, and you were calling, saying, one motor down the con, one motor down the con. We are moving on a radio. And as you were getting close, say, no, not be this one, let her pass. And you passed, you didn't know what happened. He did, never,
again, I say, one now.
Number two, your generosity will speak for you. Not only when you recognize the worth of Jesus, but also when you are sacrificial. When you are sacrificial, that generosity will speak for you. Papa Ayo Orisheja for once said, he said, when your giving goes beyond the ordinary, it becomes sacrifice. If your giving does not go beyond ordinary, it is not yet a sacrifice. If your giving is as usual, in those days while we were in the secondary school, what we want to write later, instead of putting my address, just write as usual. As usual. Help me look at the person here, you ask the person. Ask the person, say, your thanksgiving this year now as usual. If you hear the person, help me ask the person, say your thanksgiving for this year now as usual. If it is as usual, it means it is not sacrifice. That was why I was quarreling with Dr. Yomi and his committee when they came to tell us, bring 1% of your income for thanksgiving. The woman gave 1 year wage. God is looking for men and women who will say, my salary for this month, everything, I'm giving it to God. Sacrifice. Some person when they're alive, now they pick up money. Those Okada guys, they are in. Sacrifice. We made reference to several characters in my introductory presentation who went beyond the ordinary, and at the end of their action, God will say, what do you want me to do for you? My time is up. But are you prepared to give sacrificially to God this year? Number three, your generosity will speak for you. when you give without a string attached to it.
This woman who came to lavish this thanksgiving on Jesus, lavish this ointment on Jesus, she didn't attach any string. She was not thinking of the reward Jesus would give to her. She just realized, let me worship this King of Kings. Let me worship this Messiah. Let me appreciate the enormity of the sacrifice he has come to make for humanity to be reconciled to God. That was her goal. That was her aim. But she got more than she bargained. So many people, they give with strings attached to it. If your giving is with a string attached to it, say, let me give this one so I can get this one back, then it is not generous and it won't speak for you. My father told me this story many years ago. Say, while they were growing up in our home church, one man, a new convert, came to church one day. And then when he saw people giving offering, he also joined them to dance forward and give offering, drop what he brought. And at the close of service, everyone was going home. But the man sat down like my CA is sitting down. And so the pastor went to him and said, ah, Oga, church don't close now. Oh, you never go home. You know what the man said? And the pastor, you know what he was saying? Said, what the little thing we realize the other time, let's share it. And that's what I'm waiting for. Because they are taught that the offering that we are being given at the end of the service, they will do what? You know, in our culture, when they are doing traditional things, when you go and you donate 20 naira or you donate 100 naira, at the end of the ceremony, they will return your 100 naira back to you. That was the message. He was expecting cheer. I don't know about me, now I'm back at all. As he was giving, he attached a string to it. That at the end of the day, when the church service is over, I will collect possibly with some dividends to be added. Is that the mindset you are having? Give without strings. And the Lord himself, whom you are doing it for, knows how to reward you. That is generosity. Look at those examples we made a while ago. None of them attached a string to it. He said, let me give so I can get this back. But God, who is the rewarder of those who are faithful, knows how to reward you. It's my prayer this morning that as you prepare to come with a generous heart to appreciate this God who has been so faithful, who has kept his covenant with us, who has sustained us, who has protected us, who has delivered us from all that the enemy had planned in view of us, that as you come to give thanks to him, your thanksgiving will produce tangible results in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I said it will produce tangible results in the name of Jesus Christ. To such an extent that even without you attaching the string to it, God will open the doors of his blessing and he will lavish it upon your life. As I close, may I remind us that your generosity will speak for you when you recognize the words of Jesus. Your generosity will speak for you when you are sacrificial. And your generosity will speak for you when you give without a string attached. Ije mewa bebe Oge no se wuna Uye Shall we all rise on our feet as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word.